Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Here we go. It is hour number three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Dak on Shoddy. We'll get that in a minute for you. How is he feeling about it? I do want to pay off the tease about drafting a running back, though, as we are live at Christie's on Lower Greenville. Brought to you by our friends at Stella Artois. Thank you so much to them. Some of the most delicious cold beer you'll ever have. And you can come get a cold one right now. I said it earlier, they do make one of the best 0.0 selections you can get as well if you're into the NA beer scene as I am. You can do no better than what they got cooking at Stella Artois, okay? Why you should probably take a running back before the end of the third round. This is your guy, Tommy Yarish, DallasCowboys.com. Check this out. In the last three Pro Bowls, 18 of the 21 running backs selected have been first or second round picks. If you expand that filter to the last six seasons, 32 of the 40 Pro Bowl running backs were picked in the first two rounds. In this Sunday's conference championship games, three of the four starting running backs played were drafted in the first three rounds of their respective classes. So, I mean, there's some pretty compelling data there. First two rounds, 32 of the 40 Pro Bowl running backs over the past six seasons have come from there. Gives you a 75% shot. And then in the conference championship games, that's pretty compelling. You look at the data going into the playoffs, the top six most efficient running teams all made it, to the playoffs. So I do think it's important to clarify, you can't wait too long. Maybe your philosophy is I'll never draft one in the top 10. I would agree with you. Maybe never in the top 20 of the first round. And I'm mostly with you there. You know, and I'll say this, Brian, I don't want to pick a fight with you, but I think if Genty is your highest graded player when you get to 12, I would consider changing a grading system. You know, I don't think a running back could be ranked higher than a legit first round grade at any other position. You know, so I am pretty staunch and pretty strong. That said, I would maybe take a guy at 20. If you have 19 first round grades, they're all gone, running backs in there at 20, I'm not against the idea of a first round pick blanket statement for a running back. But I would feel like that would be maybe a better way to stack a board. Like my best running back every year, the highest he could go is the top player that I'm giving a second round grade to, and we'll see how things fall to me as I'm evaluating that. But I mean, you could say first three rounds. I mean, I'd say the data even suggests even more. Maybe you should be looking at second round. The Cowboys have, you know, been throwing around second round picks like they're nothing for a long time, and they made a lot of mistakes there. I think you could count the hits maybe easily with one hand over the last 15 years in the second round. But I think that's what I'd like to see right now, either a great offensive lineman or young wide receiver, maybe a corner at 12, and then 44, I'm, you know, taking the best running back on my board there, Chief. Would you pick a fight with that approach?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't pick a fight with that particular approach. It's really just the top half of the first round stuff in particular, and general first round stuff that sort of gets me a little bit frustrated, especially when you're a team with as many holes as the Cowboys. You're picking at 12. If you were actually the team picking at 23 and you're like, okay, we're sort of we're right there on the cusp. We were a playoff team. We probably don't have an insane amount of holes, but we definitely got a huge one at running back. Okay, fine. Or you're at 12, you trade down, you recoup a bunch of picks, and then you want to take a running back in the low to late 20s or whatever, like, okay, I guess I could try and get on board with that. But like, when it comes to some of the scientific evidence there, I get all the postseason stuff that he laid out, but like the Pro Bowl stuff is useless. You can't base anything off of what the Pro Bowl is, because we laugh at the Pro Bowl voting every single year. So
it's not a nothing burger. It's not totally useless.
I don't know that the Pro Bowl is what I would be starting off my evidence
no
with.
No, it wouldn't. But okay, so what would you?
If you're going to do something like that, like maybe all pros, like let's see who the all pro running backs actually are, because that's a much different vote than the Pro Bowl vote.
Yeah.
Something like that would be huge. And then you always also want to see, like, who's the guy that's designing it all, or what type of offensive line were they dealing with? Mm-hmm. Because you can't just throw a back in with an outdated scheme and an average to below average offensive line and expect you're going to get all pro level stuff.
I mean, a lot of it.
Saquon Barkley didn't do a whole lot for the Giants. You give him this offensive line, you give him this offensive line coach and run game coordinator, all of a sudden now you're talking about a different animal.
So I think it comes down to, like, what kind of assets, how premium does your allocation have to be in order to get at least replacement level? Because I'm with you. We don't need to overspend for, you know, an additional 0.1 or 0.2 yards per attempt and a couple of extra touchdowns a year if that's what a difference maker. But I think from rounds 4 through 7 especially, you're getting a lot of guys in the draft that are never good enough to earn a starting position or are on practice teams. You know, I think there would be a big miss rate where you're looking at guys worse than Rico Dowdle if you wait, you know, beyond maybe day two. Where are you going with it, Wolchuk?
Yeah, I'm big in getting a guy at the very least on day two. I mean, I don't think that it's coincidental that the top guys in rushing are all first or second round picks. And then you do mix in like a random Chuba Hubbard. And then you got to get down to like outside of the top 10, there's Bucky Irving. And maybe you can find yourself a Kyren Williams. Kyren might have been a third rounder. Maybe a fourth. I can't remember exactly where he went, but like Barkley first round, Henry second round, Bijan first round, Taylor first round, or second round, Gibbs one, Jacobs was a one. I mean, to me, if that's a position you're going to give the ball 25 touches to a game, that player is impacting you every single week in a massive way. And the Cowboys have spent 2 offensive tackle first round picks the last 3 years. Now, one, they've kicked into guard. But at some point, it's like they have spent resources high in the draft at the offensive line. These guys need to perform. They need to count on Tyler Guyton. They can't just quit on him going into year two and think, oh, you had a bad year one, we're giving up. Like, so we wasted a first-round pick? Well, then why are we even talking about maybe wasting another first-round pick on an offensive line when you might think is good? If I know for sure Ashton Gentry is going to come in, he's going to be my bell cow, and that's a dude that didn't have a great offensive line and is still making people miss at a higher rate than anybody in the history, really, of college football. I mean, 16 missed tackles against Oregon in the playoff game, against Penn State. I mean, to me, that guy's going to help you win games. And if that's what we need to go to, where you want to run the football, play defense, I think you got to look at running back as this is a premium pick for us. Maybe it's not at 12, but it damn sure probably needs to be at 44 if you're lucky enough to have one of the top guys fall to you.
So in the second round, we're looking at UNC. We're looking at Iowa. Yeah. Are we looking at Arizona State there with Scataboo?
No, he's more of a bottom of the third round guy. He's a 5'9 guy. That to me, there's Samson at Tennessee, Harvey, Central Florida, Junkins, Ohio State, Neil.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how.
Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Kansas. I mentioned those guys earlier.
So there's four of them?
Those are all four guys I'd have better than Scatterboo.
And they're second-round guys?
Third.
Third-round guys.
Yeah.
I just think that, you know, this running back class sets up for you to take, you know, a guy in the second and third round. And if you want to prospect and say, man, we got something with Rico here, and we're not really set to win now, and you want to delay that because there is a player in the second round that matches another position, and you do that again in the third round, I would have, you know, no problem with that. But, I mean, the idea of bringing in a star running back is always a fun one. Yeah, just, you know, again, the premise of the article is if you want Pro Bowl producers, you know, chances are better than not, you got to get them by the end of the third. Dak on Schottenheimer last night with Clarence Hill on the All City Dallas show. The quote, he'll be ready for the next step. He has the right personality and brain.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a pretty good endorsement for Schottenheimer there from the quarterback. Yeah. Do you think he prefers him?
I think he does, Dawson. I think if you gave Dak Prescott a choice of Schottenheimer or Kellen Moore, I think he's going to take Schottenheimer. And I think that's why Dallas is pursuing Schottenheimer the way they are. And then, you know, there's probably some thought about Kellen Moore, you know, there's some positive things about Kellen Moore, but, you know, how quickly can you get everything going? I mean, he's still playing football games right now, you know? So with Schottenheimer, I would like to think that if Dak probably helped the Joneses make this decision in the direction that they need to go. I'm sure Steven talked to him and, you know, and now you got Steven and Jerry Jr. and Dak probably all on board for Schottenheimer here.
I'd love to drill down more on what he thinks about brain, because I think that's perhaps one of the most important traits to have, is not you've learned something, but you're creative enough to problem solve.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're
mm-hmm.
adaptable mm-hmm. depending on what the trends of the defense are. You know, it's one thing to know what works, but you know, what works in the NFL 10 years ago is vastly different from right now. And I need a guy with the brain and the acumen to, you know, to adapt to, you know, whatever unique challenges the defense is offering. And that's, you know, shifted significantly over the last 3 years or so. And that's why defenses are now, you know, responding to the latest trend, which is a powerful running game, after they responded to, we got to limit the chunk plays in the passing game. And, you know, now, you know, teams are finding a way to exploit that. And, you know, if that's what Dak means by he has the right personality and brain, then I'm on board with that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, about 30 minutes ago, Nick Harris tweeting, while the Cowboys mull over Schottenheimer's 2 days of interviews with the team, the Star Telegram has learned there has been interest in former Seahawks head coach Pete Carroll, and that he has spoken with Jerry Jones, the decision now in the hands of Jerry. Seemed like we were heading for Schottenheimer pretty swiftly and mm-hmm. and pretty strongly. But, you know, if the boss man wants to chat with Pete Carroll, I don't know. You know, maybe it's just, you know, now a matter of getting Pete Carroll down here and, you know, seeing what he has to say there. We've talked a lot about it. But let me ask you this. If Jer Bear wants Pete and Sons want Shoddy,
mm-hmm.
would that give you confidence that the Cowboys would be in better hands, you know, with Steven and Jerry Jr.? Or would you, you know, prefer Jerry's approach of insisting on Pete Carroll right now?
Yeah, that's a good question.
My initial gut is no, it does not give me confidence they'd be in better hands.
With Jerry?
With the kids.
With the kids.
Yeah, I mean, if they're pushing for Brian Schottenheimer right now, and a big reason is because Dak Prescott told me he likes him.
Sure.
Like, that's not a good enough reason for me.
Yeah.
You know, and I can totally get why players, and even, I mean, anybody who's been around Shoddy, we got to sit down with him for almost half an hour awesome. Like, I can totally see how he can win over a room, be an awesome interview. Hell, maybe he does end up being a great CEO head coach. But, you know, do you want to – is he going to challenge you? Is he going to challenge Dak at all? Because we've kind of seen – and granted, hey, Super Bowl MVP or MVP runner-up, no Super Bowl. But that didn't do anything for you when it mattered in the postseason against a quality defensive opponent ever. Whether it was Kellen's approach, whether it was what Garrett was doing, whether – and maybe Shoddy didn't see eye to eye with what Mike did.
Mm-hmm.
But the offense came out flat as hell against Green Bay and then got it together and made it look good on the stat sheet. But they put up 17 and 12 points against a good 49er defense. And we talked all year, 2 years ago, when they played against a good defense, the offense wasn't able to do much when they go on the road to Buffalo, just as one example, right? So – I don't know. You know, I mean, maybe you want the comfort thing hasn't really gotten you far. It hasn't gotten you over that hump. You've got to be open-minded to change, and I think there seems to be a very stubbornness to wanting to hear new ideas and welcoming any type of change if that is what Stephen and Jerry Jr. want. It's too much on the comfort. It's too much on the continuity. They had that for 9 years under Garrett. You just had Mike for 5 years.
Yeah.
You got one playoff win, guys. Something's not working.
Sure.
Just change. You got to be willing to change. And there seems to be a very stubbornness with them that they're welcoming any change.
If you want Schottenheimer because that's what Dak wants and it's cheaper,
sure,
then I don't like that. But I think there's something to be said for the process of, you know, maybe Schottenheimer isn't the guy that's going to get the TV talking about us. You know, maybe, you know, this isn't going to excite the fan base. But I like the idea that maybe it's a process of knowing fundamentally this is what's in the best interest of the football team, and Dad's looking for the big, you know, ratings generator, the season ticket seller, or the thing to get social media firing. And, you know, if that's why, you know, Dad wants a coach who's won the Super Bowl to give fans more belief, you know, then I'm looking at it like Jerry Jones is too much in it for selling and the appearance of things. And maybe the kids want to, you know, take more of a backseat and let the process of operating a football team run its course. I don't think Stephen and Jerry Jr. are going to, you know, undermine the head coach or insist that they're the tone setter for the organization like Jerry is. So I don't know if this is a pure example of it, but I think the Cowboys are going to be much better off. They'll have an opportunity to run like most of the other teams do, where the owners are doing their thing and having their say, but, you know, not so involved in the tone setting of the organization. I think that's fundamentally potentially more solid. We'll continue the conversation a little bit later on. We're live at Christie's here, brought to you by Stella Artois. It's time for Woolchuck's Top 10 at 420. Buddy, where are you taking us?
Oh, my goodness. It's a tremendous day. Once a year, we get to celebrate this National Pie Day, and this year's Top 10, I've made my own. My own personal top 10 pies here live from Christie's in Lower Greenville on the Fan.